Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We shall read one verse and purport from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. We shall read from the second canto, Pure Devotional Service, text 21. Bara param patita kirita justam apyutamangam naname namakundam savokarona kurute saparyam harer lasat kanchana kanchanova. Please repeat. Bara. A great burden.
A great burden.
Param.
Param.
Heavy.
Heavy.
Pata.
Pata.
Silk.
Silk.
Kirita.
Kirita.
Turban.
Turban.
Jushtam.
Jushtam.
Dressed with.
Dressed with.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Uttama.
Uttama.
Upper.
Upper.
Angam.
Angam.
Parts of the body.
Parts of the body.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Namet.
Namet.
Bow down.
Bow down.
Mukundam.
Mukundam.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
The deliverer.
The deliverer.
Shavo.
Dead body.
Dead body. Karo.
Karo.
Hands.
Hands.
Na.
Na.
Do not.
Do not.
Kurute.
Kurute.
Do.
Do.
Saparyam.
Saparyam.
Worshipping.
Worshipping.
Hare.
Hare.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Lasat.
Lasat.
Glittering.
Glittering.
Kanchana.
Kanchana.
Made of gold.
Made of gold.
Kankano.
Kankano.
Bangles.
Bangles.
Ra.
Ra.
Even though.
Even though.
Translation. The upper portion of the body, though crowned with a silk turban, is only a heavy burden if not bowed down before the personality of Godhead, who can award mukti, freedom. And the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles, are like those of a dead man, if not engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead, Hari. Please repeat. The upper portion of the body.
The upper portion of the body.
Though crowned with a silk turban.
Though crowned with a silk turban.
Is only a heavy burden.
Is only a heavy burden.
If not bowed down.
If not bowed down.
Before the personality of Godhead.
Before the personality of Godhead.
Who can award mukti?
Who can award mukti?
Freedom.
Freedom.
And the hands.
And the hands.
Though decorated with glittering bangles.
Though decorated with glittering bangles.
Are like those of a dead man.
Are like those of a dead man.
If not engaged in the service.
If not engaged in the service.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Hari.
Hari.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON's founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated herein before, there are three kinds of devotees of the Lord. The first class devotee does not at all see anyone who is not in the service of the Lord. But the second class devotee makes distinctions between devotees and non-devotees. The second class devotees are therefore meant for preaching work. And as referred to in the above verse, they must loudly preach the glories of the Lord. The second class devotee accepts disciples from the section of the third class devotees or non-devotees. Sometimes the first class devotee also comes down to the category of the second class devotee for preaching work. But the common man, who is expected to become at least a third-class devotee, is advised herein to visit the temple of the Lord and bow down before the deity. Even though he may be a very rich man, or even a king, with a silk turban or crown, the Lord is the Lord of everyone, including the great kings and emperors. And men who are rich in the estimation of mundane people must therefore make it a point to visit the temple of Lord Sri Krishna and regularly bow down before the deity. The Lord in the temple is the worshipable form, never to be considered to be made of stone or wood. For the Lord, in his Archa incarnation as the deity in the temple, shows immense favor to the fallen souls by his auspicious presence. By the hearing process, as mentioned herein before, this realization of the presence of the Lord in the temple is made possible. As such, the first process in the routine work of devotional service, hearing, is the essential point. Hearing by all classes of devotees, from the authentic sources like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is essential. The common man who is puffed up with his material position does not bow down before the deity of the Lord in the temple, or who defies temple worship without any knowledge of the science, must know that his so-called turban or crown will only succeed in further drowning him in the water of the ocean of material existence. A drowning man with a heavy weight on his head is sure to go down more swiftly than those with no heavy weight. A foolish, puffed-up man defies the science of God and says that God has no meaning for him, But when he is in the grip of God's law and is caught by some disease, like cerebral thrombosis, that godless man sinks into the ocean of nescience by the weight of his material acquisition. Advancement of material science without God consciousness is a heavy load on the head of human society. And so one must take heed of this great warning. The common man, if he has no time to worship the Lord, may at least engage his hands for a few seconds in washing or sweeping the Lord's temple. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, the greatly powerful king of Orissa, was always very busy with heavy state responsibilities. Yet he made it a point to sweep the temple of Lord Jagannath at Puri once a year during the festival of the Lord. The idea is that however important a man one may be, he must accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. This God consciousness will help a man even in his material prosperity. Maharaj Pratap Rudra's submission before Lord Jagannath made him a powerful king, so much so that even the great Pathan in his time could not enter into Orissa on account of the powerful Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And at last, Maharaj Pratap Rudra was graced by Lord Chaitanya on the very grounds of his acceptance of subordination to the Lord of the universe. So even though a rich man's wife has glittering bangles made of gold on her hands, she must engage herself in rendering service to the Lord. Translation again. The upper portion of the body, though crowned with a silk turban, is only a heavy burden if not bowed down before the personality of Godhead who can award liberation, freedom. And the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles, are like those of a dead man, if not engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead, Hari. So, we welcome you again to the beautiful temple of Sri Sri Radha Nilamadava, Sri Sri Nithai Gaura Chandra, and Nithai Chaitanya Chandra, and Sri Giri Govardhan. And as stated in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, if one does not bow down before the Lord and engage in the service of the Lord, one is practically already dead, and at the time of death, the weight of his material acquisition will only help him to sink into the ocean of nescience more quickly. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada begins by explaining that there are three classes of devotees: first class, second class, and third class. The first class devotee sees that everyone is engaged in the service of the Lord except himself. The second class devotee distinguishes between devotees and non-devotees. Actually, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, he makes four distinctions. Prema Maitri Kripopeksha. He gives his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He makes friends with devotees. He shows mercy to the innocent, and he neglects the envious. So that function of giving mercy, kripa, belongs to the second class devotee. And so he gives mercy to the third class devotees, or innocent non-devotees. And the mercy comes primarily in the form of loudly preaching the glories of the Lord. It is by hearing the science of Godhead that one develops the sense of subordination to the Lord and bows down to the Lord. Because you have heard the science of Godhead, you come before the deity and you bow down. Otherwise, without hearing, an ordinary person will think that these are just statues made of stone or metal. Why should I bow down to a stone or metal statue? But by hearing the science of Godhead, one understands that the deity of the Lord actually is the Lord, come in the form of the Archavigraha, to bestow mercy upon us and accept service from us. There was a popular singer named Boy George. I have mentioned this on occasion. And Boy George was got the association of devotees of Srila Prabhupada, and he went to Vrindavan, and he had learned from Srila Prabhupada's followers to bow down before the deity. But in Vrindavan, he was surprised to see many people come to the temple and they don't bow down. And he was so concerned about it that he wrote a song called Bow Down, Mister. It's quite a nice song, which includes Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in it. So that bowing down, desire to bow down, is awakened by hearing the glories of the Lord. From whom? The preachers coming in the disciplic succession. Then, even if one is a very rich man, or even a king, he will bow down before the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Maharaj Prataparudra, the king of Orissa, who achieved not only the spiritual favor of the Lord by humbly sweeping the path in front of Lord Jagannath, But he was also a very powerful king. And Srila Prabhupada says that this bowing down before the Lord and engaging in service to the Lord can help one even materially. So in 2 days, on Tuesday, we'll be celebrating the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, who played the part of the ideal king. And from the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, we learn about Ravana, who was an emperor, but who did not bow down before the Lord. To the contrary, he was envious of the Lord. He wanted to kidnap Sita, the property of the Lord, and enjoy her for himself. And as a result, he was vanquished, killed by Lord Ramachandra. So we come into the material world in envy of the Lord. We want to take the place of the Lord. We want to be the enjoyers. We want to be the proprietors. We want to be the controllers. And so we are constantly vying with each other for positions of supremacy or domination or control. As I mentioned on occasion, Burijan Prabhu said that every single living entity in the material world is going around with the conception that he is the center of the universe. And everyone should act as he wants for his pleasure. And it's like secretly within their hearts, every single person is saying, everyone be silent. I have an important announcement to make. I'm the center of the universe, and you should do whatever I want for my pleasure. And just imagine having 4 billion people, I'm not even keeping, thinking that. And therefore there's so much strife, because everyone is vying for supremacy. At the time of elections, everyone is trying to become president or whatever. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point that that means you're not president. If you, by constitution, were president, then you'd be president. You don't have to be elected president. But by constitution, you're not president. By constitution, you're servant. But you want to become president, but you're not president. And he said that you can't become president by votes. And although you want to become president, you're servant. You have to serve the voters. Otherwise, they won't re-elect you. So all these designations, all these positions that we're so mad for attaining, they're all artificial and extraneous. Our actual position is servant. Not just servant, but servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So, the first class devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, he sees that everyone is engaged in Krishna's service, and therefore there is no need to preach. But sometimes a devotee in the first class will take the position of a devotee in the second class in order to preach. When Srila Prabhupada was invited as a special guest to the Gita Jayanti celebrations at in Indore, sponsored by Balmukund Baba of Gita Bhavan. So they gave him a house, and every day he would have hours when people could visit him. That was Srila Prabhupada's general practice. Although sometimes he lamented. Once in Juhu he was saying that, I have these hours. It was called darshan. I have these hours and people come. And they ask, Swamiji, how is your health? And he said that they can see my health is not good. But they ask, Swamiji, how is your health? And then he said, it's a waste of time. And then he cited the example of one famous Swami in India. He would only see people once a year. If he would come out on his balcony to see people once a year. And Srila Prabhupada said, maybe when the new temple opens I can do that. But now if I were to do it, people will say, oh, Swamiji is too proud. He's too proud. He's too busy for us. So anyway, so in Indore, as usual, Srila Prabhupada would have this darshan time from about 4 to 5:30. And people would come to him. And most of the time they came with their own philosophies. And once Srila Prabhupada commented, they come with their own philosophies. And they present their philosophies to me to see if I agree. And if I agree, they think, oh, Swamiji is very good. And if I disagree, they think, oh, this is not a good Swami. So once a group of gentlemen came in, and they had their own ideas, and that night before, Srila Prabhupada had spoken at I think that was Gita Bhavan. He had spoken there, and they didn't have a picture of Krishna either. They had a lamp with a light, a flame, deeper. And so Srila Prabhupada was criticizing them. Even an ordinary political party, when they have a meeting, they'll have a picture of the head of the party. And here, Gita Bhavan, they don't even have a picture of Krishna. So these men, they became defensive and say, you know, they were saying, well, this is our tradition, we light the lamp, and Prabhupada said, where is that coming from, who says, and so like this, from the beginning, they were arguing. So, eventually they said, Swamiji, you should not criticize. You should be Samadarshana. But they knew some Sanskrit. No, they had some sort of smattering of facts. So, they said, Swamiji, you should be Samadarshana. And they're referring to the verse, Vidyavinai Sampane Brahmi Kapi Hastini. Yes, move forward. Good. Move this way, in other words. Closer to the speaker. And the meaning of the verse is one who is learned sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, an elephant, a cow, a dog, and a dog eater. So they were saying to Prabhupada, you should be Samadarshana. You should see equally, you shouldn't criticize some. And Srila Prabhupada said, I'm not on that level. I see that you're doing nonsense and I say you should stop it. And then he said, why is someone born as a dog? Why is someone born as an elephant? Why is someone born as a Brahmin? Why is someone born as a Chandala? Why is someone born as a cow? It's according to their pious and sinful activities. So to say that you see them all equally means that you don't distinguish between pious and sinful activities. But I do distinguish. I see that you're sinful, and I say that you should stop being sinful. So the argument was going back and forth. Prabhupada was quoting scripture, and at one point one of the gentlemen said, there are so many mistakes in the scripture. And Prabhupada said, oh, now you're finding fault with Vyas. Then I cannot speak with you anymore. Then you please go. You are finding fault with Vyas? We cannot discuss you. You please go. And said, okay. So then they said, well, you're an acharya. You should make some contribution beyond the previous acharyas. And Prabhupada said, no, I just repeat what the scripture and the previous acharyas say. So it's going back and forth, and then at some stage one of Prabhupada's disciples had sort of a lull in the conversation. One of Prabhupada's disciples started to explain how Srila Prabhupada was preaching all over the world and how people from all different parts of the world were becoming pure devotees of Krishna. And they were very impressed that all that hot air inside of them started to come out, and they started to calm down. And then they said, oh, Swamiji has done of his work? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. This is my contribution to the previous acharyas. Up until now, no one has made Krishna consciousness available all over the world. So this is my contribution. This is the step that I've taken beyond what all the previous acharyas have done. And this is my samadarshana, that I'm seeing that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone has the right to engage in devotional service to Krishna. And they were completely won over. They were completely won over. So that is a first-class devotee acting on the platform of a second-class devotee. And by his influence, people from all over the world came to Krishna consciousness. Even here, most probably, I can't say for sure, but I think most of the devotees, even of Indian origin, did not have a clear conception of spiritual life until they came here and came into the association of Srila Prabhupada's devotees. Or maybe even in India, but I think many here. Last night, one couple approached me. They had met devotees in India, but they couldn't really take to the process until they got to Houston and got the special mercy of Sri Sri Radhanita Madhava. And now the husband's contract is ending, and they're like desperately trying to find a job because they don't want to go back to India because they're afraid they'll fall back into that same rut. So, yes, Srila Prabhupada has really shown his magnanimity and his equal vision by taking Krishna consciousness all over the world. And we can never repay our debt to him, but we can try to begin to, not that we can begin to repay our debt, but we should have the feeling of wanting to repay our debt to him. And the way we can do that is by bringing more people to him, to Krishna, to Sri Sri Radha Nilamadava. And that's also in the scripture, that for the transcendental knowledge one receives from the guru, one has a great debt. And the only dakshina, the only way he can repay it or begin to repay it or express his desire to repay it is by sharing that knowledge that he has received with others. So we should, distribute books, go out with Harinam Sankirtan, distribute books, invite people here or anywhere that there's discussions of Krishna among pure devotees. And that will please Srila Prabhupada, Shishinitai, Gaurachandra, Sri Sri Radha Nilamadava, Sri Giri Govardhan. That will make them very happy. And one doesn't need a lot of knowledge. Like sometimes that knowledge can be an obstacle. For Fortunately, those men calmed down a little bit, but a lot of people, like Prabhupada even mentions, they say God is everywhere, but not in the temple. Everything is God except the deity. Don't worship the deity. So many like that. But once Tamal Krishna Goswami had a very nice dream. We were in Bombay, and he went to Jaslok Hospital, which was the best hospital in Bombay at the time. It was a new hospital at the time. And he was going to have a hernia operation. And when Srila Prabhupada found out, he wanted to stop the operation because he didn't trust the Indian doctors or facilities. But in those days, it was very hard to get a telephone. Srila Prabhupada, anyway, he said, like, unless you bribe a minister, you can't get a telephone. And then if you got one, it was very questionable whether it would work. So anyway, there was no way to get through to the hospital, and Srila Prabhupada decided he would go personally. So at that time we had a jeep, the original type of jeep with like a canvas canopy. And he said, no, I want to go. So we got in the jeep and went down to the hospital to stop the operation. But it was too late. The operation had already been performed. And the staff was rolling Tamal Krishna Goswami out on the gurney. And he was just coming to consciousness after being under the anesthesia. And he saw Srila Prabhupada. And he said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, I was just having a dream about you. And in the dream, you were reporting to the previous acharyas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Gorky Shordas Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, about the progress of the mission on planet Earth. And you were saying that the people on planet Earth now have no good qualities. They have no real spiritual knowledge. They have no real pious credits. They're engaged in sinful activities and have all bad qualities, basically. But they have one redeeming quality, and that is that they have faith in me. And whatever I tell them, they do. And because of the one good quality of having faith in me and being willing to do whatever I tell them, they can be redeemed. They can come to Krishna consciousness. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami looked at Srila Prabhupada for some indication about his dream. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, it is true. So that is our only redeeming quality. That is what has brought us here. That is what keeps us here. And we should we should exemplify that. And bring others in the same mood. And then everything is simple. It says, actually, Krishna consciousness is very simple, because all you have to do is do what Srila Prabhupada says, which is what Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis and the Parampara said. It's so simple. You don't have to speculate. You don't have to imagine. You don't have to concoct. You just follow. It's like so easy. And then there's no anxiety. No anxiety. Of course, there could be transcendental anxiety. But that anxiety is different. Once in Juhu, Srila Prabhupada said that actually devotees have no anxiety. They have no anxiety. But they do have one anxiety. That is how to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And Prahlad is the example. He prayed to Lord Nrisimhadev, "For myself, I have no anxiety. Because wherever I am, I can chant your glories and merge into the ocean of transcendental bliss. But I have one anxiety, and that is there are so many fallen souls rotting in material existence, and so I'm always thinking how to bring them to your lotus feet." So that was Srila Prabhupada's mood, and that should be our mood. And that will be expressed by our cooperative spirit. Again, as Tamal Krishna Goswami said in Srila Prabhupada's last days, "Srila Prabhupada, the devotees love you so much." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to keep this movement together." So that's how we will show our love to Srila Prabhupada and to Tamal Krishna Goswami and others who took up Srila Prabhupada's mission as their life and soul. And that will really please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the father who was very sick, and his sons had all gathered around him to massage him. But while they were massaging, they started to fight with each other. "You're massaging the right foot and I'm massaging the left foot. I want to massage the right foot. You're massaging the right hand and I'm massaging the right foot. And while they were fighting over who would massage which part of the father's body, the father died. So this, as Prabhupada said, ISKCON is my body. So we should cooperate. And in those last months with Srila Prabhupada, that beautiful mood did prevail. I remember one time a few of us were in his room physically. He was lying on his bed. He was very weak. And we were massaging his body. And Tamal Krishna Goswami mentioned, "Yes, the sons are cooperating for the pleasure of the body. Nobody for the pleasure of the father." And everyone, whatever we could do. Whatever we could do. And, that was the mood on Friday too. Moving the deities here. So yes, that's how we will show our love of Srila Prabhupada. That's how we can preach. Because individually, what can any of us do? Srila Prabhupada, he could come alone. But none of us can do anything like that. We need to stick together. And again, Srila Prabhupada gave a common example that if you have like one twig, you can easily break it. But if there are many twigs and you bind them together, then you can't break them. So we should be bound together by our common, well, love, if we're so fortunate, our common love for Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sri Radhanila Madhava, or at least our common interest in serving and pleasing them, and coming to that stage of love. So thank you for coming. The temple is really, it's a beautiful temple, but it's really made beautiful by your presence. I remember we went to a house program. It was like a very fancy, ornate house, and I went with one of my godbrothers, and my godbrother, he said, "You have such beautiful decorations in your house." And then he said, "The devotees." And maybe one last little anecdote. Not anecdote, instructive story. Srila Prabhupada had a disciple named Dhananjay, who was one of the first devotees to join in England. And before he was even initiated, he had begun reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And he had read that there's a golden mountain up in the Himalayas. And he saw like how poor the devotees were because they just didn't have much money. And Prabhupada also said, whatever money you get, you should spend it. You know, but a Brahmin is, he quoted it saying, even if you give a Brahmin a lakh of rupees, which was a lot, he'll still be a beggar. He said, you know, get $1 million for Krishna one day and spend $1 million for Krishna the next day. And so, but anyway, whatever the reason, we were deadly poor. And so Dhananjay, before he was initiated, he approached Srila Prabhupada and he said, "You know, Srila Prabhupada, I see the devotees are so poor and they're always struggling, you know, because of lack of finance. And, you know, I read in Srimad Bhagavatam that there's gold in the Himalayas. And I was thinking, you know, as a service, I could go there." Yeah, no, but he said, first he said, "Do you know where that is?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, I do." And then he said, "So I was thinking as a service I could go there. It wouldn't take much. You know, maybe, you know, 5 or 6 kilos. I wouldn't take a lot. And then, you know, all of these financial problems could be solved." Yeah. And Srila Prabhupada said, "That could be very controversial." And he didn't elaborate, but Dhananjay thought he meant that sort of, you know, India and Tibet, and it could be controversial. And then Srila Prabhupada said, "But more valuable than any amount of gold are devotees. So if you want to really bring wealth, you should make devotees. And, yeah, make and keep. And yes, Prabhupada did eventually give him the name Dhananjay, which means winner of wealth. And, but he also did, Prabhupada was like so amazing because he actually did give him ideas for doing business. And eventually Dhananjay became the temple president in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada told him he should have a business of making deity outfits and ornaments, and he said that will bring in good income, and at the same time it will save the devotees from being cheated in Loy Bazaar, and from that you can take something, you know, for your maintenance, and you know. So I guess that name Dhananjay could be understood on different levels, but the main level was devotees, to make devotees, and since then Dhananjay has dedicated himself to making, even now at the age of somewhere 65, is still like going out and distributing books with a devotee in England named Vishwambar. Yeah, so. So, yeah. That's good. I could go on, but I think it's time. But I'll stay on. But don't ask me how my health is. But, but if you have some other good question, I'll stay on and I'll be happy to answer. So let's conclude with reciting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Thank you very much. Hare.
Gorinath Viraj Swami Maharaj.